Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. I want to introduce you to David Payne. David is both staff economist and reporter for Kiplinger Letters, overseeing Kiplinger forecasts for the U.S. and world economies, and that's the stuff we're going to talk about. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Good to talk with you again.
So these are anxious times for most Americans. The economy is kind of blah, and the market's been going down, so shrinking 401ks aren't helping matters any. Can you give us your assessment? I guess the biggest question is, there's talk now of a possible recession. What is Kiplinger's thoughts about us going into recession?
Our thoughts are that we're not going to have a recession. So let me just state it bluntly, and that's that we won't have a recession. It's always tempting to think that we're headed into a recession when, you know, there's problems, especially when the stock market is going down.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember that recessions happen, you know, recessions, which means that the economy actually doesn't grow at all, it contracts. That only happens when there's something major going on, and not just because the stock market is falling. There's a lot of reasons why, a lot of positive things that are happening in the economy right now that will counterbalance the negatives. The main reason is that consumer spending is going to hold up. We had over 2 million jobs were added last year and the year before that, and all those folks getting jobs, that puts money in people's pockets. They have money to go out and spend. Consumer finances are in real good condition right now. The amount of consumer credit that's being used by consumers is on the upswing. The unemployment rate should continue to fall this year. The number of full-time jobs as opposed to part-time jobs should go up. And so let me also mention that the housing market will continue to do well. People are taking advantage of low gasoline prices in order to go out and buy SUVs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of reasons to, you know, that spending is going to keep the money circulating in the economy.
So these are big trends, David. They're like turning around an aircraft carrier. It's not like these trends turn on a dime. You've got tremendous economic force happening with all these new jobs being created. Now, of course, you know, companies that are in industries that are hurting right now, and I want to ask you about that in a second, they're going to start laying off people, but you still have got lots of growth in different areas. And if you have 2 million more people working, that's a lot more money floating through the economy. Let's talk about the downside here, because we hear a lot about this on the media. Everybody's expecting a big consumer spending boost based upon lower gas prices, but I keep hearing that this isn't happening. Is it or isn't it happening?
It's happening some. Not as much as people had thought. And that's probably because when energy prices go down, that does put more money in your pocket. But you're not going to go out and spend that money right away. Some of it you're going to save in order to spend later. And so the negative effects on the U.S. energy sector of the falling energy prices, those all hit up front. You know, they get the headlines, they're the most obvious. But the benefits tend to occur over time. But they do occur.
Well, are there other areas of the economy where prices are actually rising? You've got a box here on your Kiplinger letter. And by the way, this Kiplinger letter is the forecasts. It's subtitled Forecasts for Executives and Investors. And I find this to be very helpful because it's a quick look at the facts and it really points to those areas that are most important. And you have a little box on the side here that speaks to consumer prices. So total inflation, you're looking at plus 2.3%. But how does that break down?
Well, part of it is the fact that gasoline prices are not going to continue falling. And so previously, the very low inflation rate of like 0.7% last year was mostly because of the decline in gasoline prices and other energy prices.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that that's no longer going to occur, the price rise and other things is going to play into the total.
Have more impact. So what are some of those other things?
That would be things like rents. The housing market is getting tighter in a lot of metro areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, builders are trying to keep up. but the demand for housing and the demand for rentals has increased quite a bit.
Also, in your report, you mentioned that office space is tightening as well. So those who are looking for new space should budget for higher rents too.
That's correct. And in the commercial sector, this is happening as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The multifamily sector in housing has really boomed this past year, and that should continue for a bit. We expect, of course, medical care prices to rise faster than the rate of inflation, but of course, that always happens.
Yes, that's been a trend for a long time.
Right.
What is your prediction on healthcare? How much do you expect the increase to be next year?
Well, we expect the increase to be 3.4% for services.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the rate of increase in drug prices should ease off a bit, especially because that's affected somewhat by declining exports overseas.
The dollar has been very strong of late. Does that make commodities, food, and other things that we may import, does that make them more expensive or less expensive, the higher dollar?
Less expensive. And that's because you're able to buy more. The value of your dollar is higher, and so you're able to buy more with it from overseas. And that is going to keep U.S. inflation at a fairly low level for a while, in the low 2% range, because prices of things that we purchase, goods as well as services from overseas, will be less. And so food prices, for example, should not increase very much.
So food prices should be moderate. Gasoline will be up next year, is your prediction, because of gas hitting a bottom and then rebounding somewhat. Housing and rents are still increasing. Your forecast is 3.5%. Healthcare is increasing. Other services are kind of stable. So you're looking for 2.3% inflation rate. And it's very interesting because, you know, the 10-year Treasury, which is very sensitive to inflation rates, is currently selling under 2%. So
That's correct. Not
even keeping pace with what you're expecting to be inflation next year. So theoretically, all things being equal, that kind of may portend for a rise in longer-term rates. Is that logical to you?
Well, it's logical that the 10-year rate is currently depressed from what it would be, you know, if things were more normal. I'm expecting that the 10-year rate will get up to 2.6% by the end of the year. However, I'm only predicting that the Federal Reserve is going to raise short-term interest rates just twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit more dovish than other folks who are saying either three or four times.
Right. My guest is David Payne. He is a staff economist and reporter for Kiplinger Letter, and he oversees the forecast for U.S. and world economies. What about taxes, David? With the Congress passing legislation last year, what do taxes look like for the average person in 2016?
I would say that I don't think there's going to be any tax increases this year. I think the deficit is actually going to increase, being that it's a presidential election year. The deficit was about 2.5% of GDP last year. It'll probably go up to about 3% this year.
Really? The deficit was only 2.5%? That's a lower number than I had heard. That's very low.
That is very low. And that's one of the reasons why that's not going to continue.
Right. And that's because the economy is doing better and there's higher tax receipts.
That's right.
And I guess government spending hasn't exploded in any particular fashion. But I have read that next year they're expecting government expenditures to rise. So the percentage deficit against GDP would be higher. But still, if it's in the 3% range, that's historically pretty low, isn't it?
Yes, that is a good number, 3% or less. The problem really doesn't start until a few years down the road, after 2020 and later, which is when government spending on Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid start to get really high.
I see. Because of the aging baby boomers and the bulge in the snake, so to speak, as the baby boomers move through the timeline and as they get older and they require more healthcare services, that's going to be the strain on Medicare and then, of course, more Social Security as well. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, David, I don't know whether you answer this kind of question, but I'm going to ask anyway. What do you think the stock market's going to do in 2016, up or down?
I'm betting that it's going to go up, but maybe not a lot, but it will be in the up direction. My thought is that the market has gone down recently because multinational corporate profits, you know, have taken a hit
mm-hmm.
from slower U.S. exports, from slower growth overseas from the rise in the value of the dollar. But ultimately, I believe that the market is connected to the health of the U.S. economy in general. And the fundamentals of the U.S. economy are still good. We should see GDP growth, for example, picking up again fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, I think the market ultimately will be in good shape.
Okay, good. The Fearless Forecast. My guest, David Payne, staff economist, reporter for Kiplinger Letter, and you can find this letter at kiplinger.com and then look for the economic outlook. David, terrific talking to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.